Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in episode 172, I'm going to touch on length and partials. And for those that tuned into the last episode, apologies for the audio issues I was having. And also just for the poorer quality kind of podcast content in terms of the display and the audio recently. I've got a new laptop in the last month or so and trying to get things set up in regards to getting the podcast done to a high quality has been a bit of a nightmare. Just with obviously getting a MacBook, the software things I was using for the MacBook is not quite compatible for the Windows computer isn't quite compatible for the MacBook. So yeah, apologies for the inconvenience regarding that. In terms of this episode, I'm going to touch on, like I said, length and partials. So length and partials is something that is quite prevalent now. There's quite a lot of research coming out regarding length and partials giving you equal muscle growth or similar muscle growth to using a full range of motion. And then some people are kind of wondering, is it the next best thing? Should we switch our movements and perform lengthened movements only? So this episode, I'm going to dive into what I personally think about lengthened partials, what I take from the research from it, and how it can influence your decision making inside the gym. So in terms of lengthened partials, it's basically when you are primarily staying in the mid and lengthened position of a rep and not fully shortening a muscle. What I mean by that is when you take your bicep, for example, when your arm's straight, you're lengthening your bicep. When your arm's bent, you're shortening your bicep. So a fully lengthened bicep would be when your arm's straight and your arm's behind your body. Whereas a shortened bicep, arm's fully bent and your elbow's in front of your body. So when it comes to like lengthened partials, what the research is basically influence my decision making on is, or kind of backed up my decision making on, is the importance of the middle and lengthened range of a movement. And what I mean by that is getting a good stretch and like primarily loading the middle position of a rep and the lengthened position of a rep. And what I mean by that is with movements, it doesn't mean like the shortened range is therefore useless now that we know the middle and lengthened position gives you equal benefit, but what it does is it reinforces that the majority of the movements you should pick should primarily load that middle and lengthened position. And you can do so by obviously manipulating the movement, manipulating your setup, depending on what movement you obviously pick as well, but it just reinforces the importance of training in that range, which I already had the belief in prior. And Joe Bennett is someone who's spoke a lot about it, who puts a lot of kind of good content out, and he was kind of basically speaking about the middle and lengthened range for like a good while, and that's where we produce the most force, which means we can basically lift the most load. That's where mechanical tension will therefore be the highest, or in other words, how much load we can place bone to bone or on our muscle fibers. And when it comes to like the utility of partials, or where lengthened partials can come in handy, in my opinion, it's movements that are shortened bias. So what I mean by that is movements that are a bit heavier in the shortened position, this is where lengthened partials can be beneficial. So if we think like something like a dumbbell lateral raise, something like a maybe like a chest press machine potentially not locking out, or another movement that is quite heavy at the top and you fail at the top well before you fail at the bottom, that's where I believe lengthened partials have their utility. So if let's say you're doing a pull down, a single arm or dual arm one, and it's later in the session, what you'll find is you'll fail quite soon in the shortened range or when your up arm's in line with your body, but you'll still have a lot of oomph, you'll still have a lot of energy in the middle and lengthened range. So this is where I believe lengthened partials have their utility, not to replace using a full range, but when we do movements that are quite heavy to kind of finish in the shortened position, that is, like I touched on for the bicep example, that doing partials afterwards can have quite a lot of merit and can have quite a lot of benefit. And when you do have access to machines where you can manipulate like where they're light, where they're heavy, if you've seen like the green machines that I'll use on my Instagram where there's different like points to load the weight, therefore it is the kind of indicating that the benefit of loading those machines or using those machines, sorry, is that you can load that middle and lengthened range where you can make them weight the heaviest. And some examples of like some maybe movements that are heavily lengthened bias could be something like a dumbbell press, could be something like a squat variation, and it indicates that those movements, the kind of bread and butter movements, will give you kind of the most return for your investment, in my opinion. And as for like lengthened partial only training, should we ditch the full range of motion? Should we just do partials? So I don't think so, for a few reasons. And first of all, it's hard to logbook and standardize them, meaning how do you track progressions when you're not using a full range? Like when you're doing a chest press, how do you keep the range of motion the same and comparable when you aren't kind of fully locking out? It's a bit less clear cut if you are getting progressions or not, or are you just maybe using a slightly more range of motion, slightly less range of motion? So it's hard to kind of logbook and standardize. And a big thing when progressing exercises is logbooking and progressing lifts over time. So that's a potential downside of using, let's say, lengthened only work. And also there's some potential benefits of training in the shortened position, or in other words, the contraction, you could say. And one of them being mobility. Like, for example, if you're doing like a lateral raise, like a lying cuffed lateral raise, for example, I believe when you're performing that movement, when you are getting your arm fully overhead actively, you're using your side delt to get your arm in that position where your shoulder or with your hands above your head. That's going to help maintain and improve your overhead mobility, in my opinion. So if we're, let's say, not doing movements where we are getting a fully shortened muscle group, we aren't getting that full extension at the shoulder, we aren't fully driving up when we're doing, let's say, a line cuff lateral, or you could maybe use the same thought process on other movements as well, like going all the way up during, let's say, what's a good example? Like maybe extending your legs during like a leg extension even, or going all the way up during like a line hamstring curl. Like I believe, see, if you're visiting those ranges of motion, you are going to maintain good mobility there. And I think that can be a potential benefit of using like movements where you are visiting that shortened position. And as well as that, when it comes to like performing your movements, we've got to consider like longevity when we're training. And what I mean by that is what will allow you to make the most progress is staying injury free over the long term. And if you can use, let's say, movements where you are getting a muscle fully shortened, like a leg extension for example, and you're fully extending the leg, that might mean you'll reduce load exposure, which will mean less stress on your joints. Same with pausing in that shortened range. So pausing when your leg's fully extended, or when you're doing like a leg extension, that's a good way to kind of drive a lot of blood in the quad, reduce the amount of weight you need, and as a result, that could be better for like a longevity point of view when it comes to maintaining good knee health, because again, you aren't needing as much weight. So that's something that maybe studies don't always give you the tools to kind of assess, because they're not looking, right, who remained injury free. They're looking who built the most muscle growth, or who had the most muscle growth, if that makes sense. So I think from like a joint and connective tissue point of view, getting like a full range can be valuable for that reason, as well as maintaining good mobility and therefore helping you potentially stay injury free. And as a result, like again, we need to stay injury free long term. So I think using movements where you're getting a full extension, you're shortening a muscle, doing that early on in your sessions can make you safer when you're going into more heavily loaded movements in the stretch in the middle position of the rep. So there's benefit of movements that are heavy in the shortened position for that reason. Not everything needs to be really heavy in the stretch in the middle of the rep. And also it comes with more fatigue when you do really lengthened biased movements, which can be another downside. So doing movements that will work the shortened range a bit more will be less fatiguing. So if you're really kind of pushing it in terms of the amount of work you're doing, you might not want to do more work which is extremely fatiguing. You might want to try and get some low fatiguing work in, which you can do through overloading that shortened position. And in terms of why you also might want to use a full range and not just do lengthened only work is sometimes if you get like a really good stretch during the movement, it can actually take the load off the target muscle. What I mean by that is if you're doing something like a hip thrust, for example, and you're going all the way down on a machine or just using a bar, you tend to get more bend in the knee when you go even lower and you're not changing the length of the hip as much. So therefore, when you go deeper throughout, let's say, a hip thrust, you're not actually getting more glute out of it. And if someone's maybe not wanting to target their quads, they're happy with their quad development and they want to get more glutes, then that might not be a favourable option for themselves, because you don't also produce more force with your glutes when they're in a stretched position than you do when they are shortened, if that makes sense. In other words, at the top of a hip thrust. So sometimes you might not want to use a full range for that reason. It might take the load off the target muscle and what you're trying to train. Most of the time, I don't think it's going to be that bad a thing using a full range. For example, you'll work your calves a bit more at the bottom of a leg curl, but it just means you'll stimulate muscle growth in your calves as well as your hamstrings. So I don't think it's the end of the world there. But for some instances, like when you're at the bottom of a hip thrust, you might not want to use a full range for that reason, because you don't want to get more quad out of the movement. So that's something to consider. And also, what you can also consider is when you're next training the body part. So when we do movements that are heavily loaded in the stretch position, they'll usually come with more muscle damage. And as a result, if we are, let's say, training high frequency and we want a body part to be fresh for our next session, I might not want to really overload the stretch position or do lengthened partials, because it might result in a lot of muscle growth. So there instead, you might want to do movements that are maybe heavier in the shortened position, so you're getting less fatigue, less muscle damage. For example, if I was wanting to really, really bring up my legs and I was hitting legs Monday, Friday, and I wanted to do more hamstring work on Wednesday, doing a lying hamstring curl where you're not getting as much stretch, where you're kind of got a bit more weight at that fully shortened position when your leg's fully bent, and you're basically flexing your knee, that's going to result in, let's say, less muscle damage than doing something like a Romanian deadlift. So when we want to make sure we're fresh in time for our next session, sometimes you might not want to do movements that are really, really heavy in the stretch, that are a bit more fatiguing. And like I said, when you're injured, the movements that are really heavy in that middle and lengthened range are usually a bit less joint friendly. So for example, if your knees are feeling a bit funny, you might not want to really, really load your knees really heavily in that stretch position. And instead, you might want to do a leg extension first. You might want to make sure you're using a full range when you're doing your squatting movements, because you might need less load if you are going all the way up and down, which will mean less stress on your joints. Same applies for some other movements. So you've got to kind of bear in mind the bigger picture. So the problem with kind of studies is, yes, they're viewing maybe the benefit of the middle length and range for muscle growth, but they're not taking into consideration maybe maintaining mobility over time. Right? They're not maybe taking into consideration injury prevention, fatigue over the long term. They're not taking into consideration enjoyment for training. They maybe haven't taken into consideration, I don't know this for sure, but is it only a maybe temporary benefit you get from lengthened partials just from being like a novel stimulus, a new stressor, if that makes sense? So there's a lot of things to consider. But to basically summarise and conclude, my thoughts on lengthened partials and what the research basically indicates is it reinforces the importance of the middle and lengthened position and making sure you're visiting them in your training. So making sure with your movements, you are getting a good stretch and you are picking movements that are quite heavy in the middle and lengthened range. And movements that aren't that heavy in the middle and lengthened range, you might want to put them at the start of your session, that movements that are harder to finish in the shortened position, like let's say doing a lat pull down, and therefore, yeah, you might want to start with that, because then when you get through a session, you'll lose a lot of strength, you'll lose a lot of oomph in that middle in that shortened position. Your ability to shorten a muscle will diminish, which will mean you'll be limited by how much weight you can lift in the shortened position, which means you're therefore under training the rest of the range. So therefore, movements are really hard to finish, like a leg extension or maybe doing a lat pull down, you might want to put them at the start, same with like a plate loaded chest press, so you can fully finish the movement, so you can kind of lock out your last rep, or fully shorten your lat on a pull down, or fully extend your quad during like a leg extension. And then if you do need to place these late in the session, then it's a good idea to maybe finish with partials, so you are feeling in that middle and lengthened range. So that's what I basically take from it. It just reinforces the importance of that middle and lengthened range, and that the majority of our movements should be kind of spent getting a good stretch, spending time with a lot of load in that middle and lengthened position. Also, you could argue like if lengthened partials are super beneficial, that could maybe point towards not, let's say, doing things like reverse banding certain movements potentially. But again, the caveat to that is, even if, let's say, lengthened partials or overloading length and position is really beneficial, but someone's knees just really can't tolerate doing a hack squat without a band, then for them, what's optimal for them isn't really overloading that middle lengthened position if it's going to get them injured. What's optimal for them is what's going to allow them to stay injury free, which might be having a bit less load in that stretch position. So when you are injured, maybe don't opt for movements that are really heavy in the stretch when coming back from an injury, or if you've just got niggles you're trying to manage. And then when you are doing maybe lengthened partials, they are maybe more valuable later in the session where your injury risk is a bit lower, you are really, really warm, there's tons of blood in the muscle, so you're not really going to be able to lift as much load in that stretch position anyway, so it might be a good idea utilising them then, where again injury risk will be lower and your ability to shorten a muscle will diminish, which will therefore limit you. Because if you're, let's say, doing a chest press and the amount you can lift is influenced by how much you can lock out, then that means you're under training the bottom position. So things like that could be a good idea, finishing your flies with partials, etc., so that you're basically rinsing and failing in that middle and lengthened position. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Thank you very much for everyone watching or listening. And if you've got any questions, any topics you'd like to see, or any questions for the next Q&A, just let me know. And of course, any story tags or shares are massively appreciated as always.